Blog Talk Radio.
With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. And see, I'm calling. I'm in Queens, New York. It's a very weird day. It rained on and off twice, like this quick thunderstorm, and then it stopped. I don't know what's going on with this weather, but I'm indoors, so who gives a hoot anyway. I would have said shit, but I don't want to say shit. And so today, tonight's show, that's at 7 o'clock on my time. And, well, I have to first go back to being in Provincetown when I was at a place called I Dream of Gelato. And it's by far the best gelato I've ever tasted. And now I understand why. But it prompted me to go to a company called Fabri, where I learned how to make gelato. Not the same process that Michelle does at I Dream of Gelato, which I think we'll be able to explain. She did it, what's called a hot process. So she starts from scratch with the milk. But I guess John Yotis from Fabri will be joining us to tell us all about that. And then we're going to talk about a product that I got called Click Free, where you can download your CD drive and just take it on the go. And the one I have here says multi PC. Can you imagine? I mean, I can just go around to different computers and just, put it right there into their UBS system or UBS port or whatever you call it, that thing. And just, log on to that and grab stuff. I don't know. Not that I would. I have enough to deal with my own computer. And then I'm going to have, well, went on a cruise last night. CD 101.9 has been doing some cruises, so they're just starting anyway. And it's Cool Jazz, that's what it's called. And we had, it featured Spyro Gyra. Yep, the band Spyro Gyra was on this cruise. It was absolutely fabulous. So we're going to have somebody from the company, I guess the 101.9 company, called Marquee, and they will... somebody will tell us, what's going on? Why can't we have CD 101.9 anymore? But we'll get to that. So in the meantime, I was on the, I won't go to it, was in cruise. I just finished having dinner. And I cooked up, I got this rice called forbidden rice. It's black rice. It kind of makes the water turn purplish, but doesn't taste purple or whatever, and it's looks like it's black, the rice, and it's I would call it short grain, has a lot great amount of flavor. And so I cooked that up, and then in another pan, I had some little tomatoes, and I threw that in with some basil oil and cooked that up really good, and then threw in about half a dozen sea scallops. That's the large ones. And that, so we got that basil oil and the sea scallops and a little bit of salt, and put that all on top of the forbidden rice, which was not forbidden for me to have. And so, and speaking of food, oh yeah, it's commercial time. Must have the commercial of the one of my sponsors, which is, of course,
what would you do to earn brownie points?
How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale. Brownies. You can get them at www.brownies.com. Now, so while I'm waiting for John to call in, I also wanted to relate something that happened. Okay, so I get an email from this PR company, and they would like me to attend the, I guess, sort of opening of a restaurant called Bobby Van's. And it's located in the American Airlines terminal at JFK. And basically, I got the email just said, then bring ID. So, all right. So now I get there. I don't take a bag. I just stick all kinds of stuff in my pocket that I'll need, or may not need, or whatever. And I go off there, and I put my stuff. I have to, like, in order to get through the security, they sort of have to give me a make-believe airline ticket. Then I finally, like, go through security, you know, and then I have to put all my stuff in one of those bins. So I just take everything out of my pocket, put it in the bin. I wait a little while because I hate going through the security thing until my bin, you know, is underneath the X-ray, you know what I mean. So I waited a while, and I started to go, and I figured, okay, that's fine. And I go through, I get to the other end, I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. I think it was pulled back because of somebody, like, in front of me, that they had to pull it backwards, I suppose, you know, but... And I just, like, take everything out of this, stuck it in my pocket, put my shoes back on, and I got escorted again and to this opening. Okay. And about 10, 15 minutes later, I'm about to use my digital recorder that Barbara and Nancy wonderfully bought for me for my birthday, and it's gone. So here's my guess. When the thing went backwards, the person in the back of me saw it a perfect opportunity. If not that person, someone's security just slipped something. Now, you know, how can I prove it? Can't prove it. So I didn't realize until later on. Anyway, so that's the last time that that's going to happen. I'm going to kind of demand that I will, you know, put my things through, then I'll go into, you know, after it gets to the other side, I'll walk through so I could see it. Anyway, as far as Bobby Van's itself, it's okay. I mean, like, yeah, okay. I mean, what I can't say go. I mean, like, all you have to go through to go. But anyway, so let's talk about something else, which is, of course, gelato. And so now I have John Yotis right here on the air to tell us about Fabry. Hi, John.
Hi, Merle. How are you? Good evening.
Oh, I'm just fine. How you doing?
Doing okay. The weather can help us out a little bit. Everybody's singing the blues with this weather.
Yeah, right. So let's get into something really great to talk about, which is gelato. I was commenting that, you know, I went to I Dream of Gelato, and that's where I really got the what I consider the best gelato ever, and found out the source of the products, which is from your company. So what is Fabry, and tell us a little about the place.
Well, Fabry is the oldest family-owned company of its kind, headquartered in Bologna, Italy, starting their business in 1905. The fourth generation is now at the helm, with the fifth generation in training. They export to 83 countries. They have several factories around the world. And we at Fabry North America are their office on this continent. Fabry produces a line of flavors. I have flavors in syrup form, which are for coffees or for drinks. They have concentrated pastes and powders that are used to make various desserts, gelato being one, semifreddo being another. The products in paste can be used hot or cold for pastries and desserts of all kinds, mousses. They have also a line of toppings and a line of sauces with inclusions, which they call coccolosi, all of which add up to one heck of a dessert. And this is what Michelle uses up in Provincetown, and I Dream of Gelato. I forget what number of flavors or concoctions Michelle has that she rotates, but I think it's somewhere around 150, 160 flavors.
Yeah, it's been been able to make about 160 flavors, but each time when you're there, there's usually 24 flavors out every time.
The beauty, you know, the beauty of Fabry and the beauty of the Italians there and that company is that they work with as much natural product as possible. It's very clean. We're in a long process, but we have quite a few products certified here in the United States, kosher by Star-K, both Parv and dairy. And at present, there is a large Israeli chain that just moved into the country and is going to open up a string of gelaterias, starting with three in Manhattan and one in Brooklyn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Fabry is delivering flavors to them tomorrow morning for their opening. Their first store is going to be on 42nd Street. In Queens, we have the Rinaldi's Rice Cream, which is a new slant. This is a focus on flavoring rice creams and also gelato. It's a lovely cafe. I believe you've been there, Merle.
They do rice puddings that are flavored.
Yeah, it's two brothers and their wives, young people who really have the passion and are really starting to go at it.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new to the neighborhood, very well received, and they've been doing business now about a month. But gelato, believe me when I tell you, seems to be the next generation of ice cream in this country. And you'll find it in many forms. You'll find it in gelaterias. You'll find the Italian flavors boosting American ice cream. You'll find what we call soft gelato in the soft serve machines, which is being very, very successful in that you really get only three flavors with soft serve, vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. But now, with the help of Fabry and their SimPlay line, there's over 40 flavors that can be run through the soft serve machine, and you will get pretty close and pretty much the same texture and intense flavor as the Italian gelato.
Bye. So in other words, you may see it like in this coming out of the soft serve machine versus the metal pans.
Yeah. It's not in a display case, but it's dispensed in a soft serve machine, and it's either put into a cup or a cone.
Right.
And where you have a machine that has the twist in the center, the two flavors will combine. And I'll give you an example. At one show in Columbus, Ohio, to help a dealer up there whose soft serve base wasn't delivered, we ran amaretto on one side and mocha coffee the other side. But when we applied the twist, it came out tiramisu.
Oh.
That's what started the soft serve.
Yeah.
And everybody remarked, what a wonderful idea, and that is going forward. And we have a couple of big machine companies that have taken on this concept. Electrofreeze, which is a national brand that makes batch freezers and soft serve equipment, and also Capagiani, which is one of the largest batch freezer manufacturers in the world. But they are now into this particular market with this concept, and they appreciate the work that Fabri has done with their Simplay.
So I think this all started from Cherry's called Amarino Cherry?
But he really has his roots in the product Amarino, a wild cherry discovered on their property way back in 1905 by the women in the family. The Amarino wild cherry, was discovered right outside of Modena, Italy, which is where all the balsamic vinegar comes from. And they jarred it, they bartered it, they traded it. The men used the syrup to make fruit liqueurs, and they packed fruits and liquor for a while. The women used to mix it with spring water and make cherry soda for the kids. And in Italy, as you travel through Italy, it's very hard to be in a cafe, a hotel, or any kind of restaurant without seeing that famous Fabri vase filled with Amarena cherries. The cherries are perfectly round. They're a sour cherry, but they're in a heavy syrup, so that sweetens things up. You have that two flavors. And it's a wonderful topping on ice cream or any dessert whatsoever, especially a cheesecake. And nowadays, what we have been promoting is one Amarena cherry into a flute, a flute filled with Italian Prosecco, and the drink, we named it Amarena Amor, and it seems to be going over very well. It's received very well all over this country, and particularly in Europe, where they drink quite a bit of Prosecco.
And what is that?
Prosecco is the Italian champagne.
Oh, okay.
Most Americans are familiar with spumante, which is a bubbly, sweet champagne type of a beverage, alcoholic beverage. Prosecco is similar, but it's not sweet. It's on the order of champagne. I like it better than champagne because I'm an Italian American. But with the Amarena cherry in it, it is one heck of a drink.
So it's not, I mean, as opposed to using the phrase champagne, it's sparkling wine.
It's a sparkling wine, which is a champagne.
Yeah.
It's called Prosecco because, you know, the French are the only ones who could call champagne.
Right.
Trademarked. And while there are a lot of Amarena on the market nowadays, everyone realizes and will tell you Fabri's at the top of the heap with Amarena. I've yet to find one that's comparable to this cherry.
Yeah.
It's remarkable, and people in America can buy it in retail, little vases, little opaline vases, or little jars that are painted with the company's logo. It's a blue and white image, and that you'll see on almost every one of their advertisements and in every one of the jars for Europe.
So now I understand that what happened is that the cherries sort of got paired with somebody that was making ice cream. And that's where gelato, like, started, where Fabri and gelato, you know, came into play.
Well, gelato actually is very old. The Chinese, I believe, were the first to make a sorbet by sending the slaves up to the mountain with their with their troops, and they'd bring down huge blocks of ice, which were crushed, and fresh fruits were put into it. And they made this kind of a dessert. And the Romans did the same thing shortly after Marco Polo returned with this information. And they had the ice from the Alps, and they would crush it, and they would mix it with fruits, and you started this way with the sorbet. But most of the flavors for gelato originally were made from scratch, from the nut or from the fruit. And after World War II, when Italy began to recover from devastation, everything was devastated, and they got their crops back, and they started to make concentrated paste. And Fabry was at the forefront of that. If you see fruits that Fabry packs, you open a jar and you smell the cantaloupe.
I have that one, like the melon, the cantaloupe.
That is a wonderful product. And the quality and the freshness of their product is throughout the entire line. There was a point where I opened up a new pistachio, and three or four rooms away, our office manager, Meredith, came in and said, "Are you making pistachio?" And she smelled it. The distance has got to be a good 60. So you were in the tech center in the office. It's a good 60 feet, 70 feet.
Right.
And there's several walls in between.
Yeah.
And yet you smelled it. Now, this is what they call a natural product.
Yeah.
And the melon has the same effect, which is cantaloupe. And she also smelled that on one occasion from her office and came in.
That's like if I'm at an airport and there's a Cinnabon within a mile.
Smell it.
I'll know it.
I'm attracted to that as well, you know, the Cinnabon.
So what I want to get into is to talk about how gelato is made, how it's prepared.
Yeah. There are a number of ways to make gelato. The old-timers who are mostly not with us anymore, you know, there are still people that practice what is called the artisan method. And nowadays, there's shortcuts. There are powdered bases to which you add liquid being milk for gelato, for cream items, and also water for sorbet. And you can take these bases and add different ingredients. You can use milk and cream, dextrose, skim milk powders, glucose syrup or glucose powder, and you can create the same type of base the artisan does from scratch with eggs and flour and cream and so on. There are two processes. One is hot and one is cold. Both are very delectable and produce a product which we feel is healthy and superior to anything on the market. The gelato, normally, an average gelato would be 4 to 5.5%, maxing out probably sometimes with the heavier nut products at about 8. Ice cream begins at 10, and most ice cream, premium ice cream, is at the 16% fat level. So on the fat level itself, gelato appears to be a little bit healthier for a person. The flavors are unquestionably more intense and mostly all natural. The texture is very creamy, very firm, but very creamy, and you can watch as the server can very easily pull the gelato and put it into a cup or a cone, whereas the poor server in an ice cream shop is really breaking a sweat to dig it out of that cardboard round.
Right.
So you have a very low overrun, which is air that's built into the ice cream as it's being manufactured in what's called a batch freezer. And ice cream has much, much more air than gelato. So there are several factors there that make the gelato a more desirable product, a healthier product, and not only the flavor. And if anybody knows the Italian people, they have a love affair with food. And it shows in their gelato. This is a part of their heritage in Italy, you will see every evening elderly people walking in the piazzas, their squares, or whatever, with an ice cream cone. You don't see that here in America. But it is part of their heritage, and it's part of the ice cream heritage in America now. We've watched and seen this business double twice over the last, say, 10, 12 years. This year, of course, the country is hurting, and it slowed down quite a bit from the new construction and new shops. But the past 9 years before, it was literally doubling every year. That's telling us the American public accepts it and wants it. And anyone has traveled to Europe, which I believe you have, and you have tasted products.
Yes, and I tasted a gelato in Italy.
You were completely turned on with it.
It was interesting when tasting, I said, oh, yeah, this tastes like the gelato that Michelle makes.
Yeah. Well, I'll give Michelle another compliment. Nicola Fabri is one of the principals in the corporation. He and his wife and two daughters travel to New England. He loves America. The full Fabri family loves this country. But he vacationed here the last couple of years, traveled into New England, and Mona Lisa Fabri, who is a chef, she's a pediatrician surgeon, but she's also a chef. She tasted that gelato, and she told us, you know, John, this is the best gelato I've tasted in America. And rightfully so. Michelle's wintered with us, as you know, in our office in Maspeth, Queens. And she created for us, she helped us build a website, which can be reached www.fabrinorthamerica.com. Fabri is spelled with two Bs, F-A-B-B-R-I.
Right.
And all of our literature, including recipes, is on that website. Another thing beautiful about the Fabri concentrated paste, which is called deli paste, short for delicious paste, is they could be used hot or cold. We could take a simple cheesecake recipe and give you 17 different versions of cheesecake, like hazelnut, or chandouille, or pistachio, or amarena. And it goes on, and these flavors, as I said, can be used hot or cold. Take a vanilla cookie mix and add one of our flavors, and it becomes an entirely different cookie. If you add one of our crocolosis, like almond and pignoli, heck, there's going to be a contest between you and the best bakery in your neighborhood, because I'll tell you, you probably make a better cookie than he would.
Ah.
Yes. Now, my grandson just walked into my office, and he's poppying me. He's a strawberry customer, this guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 4 years old. That's me. Poppy's on the blog with Merle. Yeah.
Did you see the photo that I have up there?
Excuse me?
Did you see the photo I have?
Yes, I'm looking at it. So is he. That's what he said. Is that,
oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I just want people to know that's all the various products. Well, you can't see what was up close, but it's all the various products, most of them anyway.
Are you looking at the syrup line? Of which we have a sugar-free, and we have a Mixi Cafe. It comes in the sugar or sugar-free, and that's designed, it's acid balance. It will never affect your coffee, and Fabri actually is the first with that. They sell millions and millions of bottles a year, and I believe it's probably the highest concentration of natural syrup on the street. They have a second line called Mixi Bar, which is made for drinks made with water, drinks that have alcohol, or drinks that you make with milk. In Italy, the last few years, Italian hot chocolate is the rage, and the younger generation uses the Mixi Cafe to flavor their hot chocolates.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now that's happening over here as well. As we know, syrups are being used to flavor coffee. But Michelle, for instance, will take our Mixi Bar and use it to help her Italian ISIS, so to speak. And I hate to use that word, Italian ISIS, because that product does not exist in Italy. In Italy, it is sorbet.
Right.
And it's a whole different product. It's not made with imitation flavor as it is here. It's made with natural fruits. But Michelle uses our syrups plus our paste to improve our Italian ices. That's part of her 160 flavors that she has up in Provincetown.
Right. In case you didn't hear, that was a loud crash of thunder. The other thing, what I wanted to kind of mention is that, like, if you're going to eat gelato, now, for instance, and I'm just, you know, like, there is another place in Provincetown that makes gelato, and it doesn't taste the same as the one that Michelle makes. For two reasons, first of all, that the hot process, I think, can come out better, more authentic. Not better. I would say more authentic.
It's gelato.
But I also want to interject that they may not be using Fabry products. In other words, it's more than just your company that sells products for gelato.
Definitely.
You can't expect it to taste the same.
A lot of people open up a shop and then forget that they have to put some passion into their business. Michelle has the passion.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll find this very rarely in the ice cream trade. You know, I go to these association functions. There's one in New England, and there's one in every year they have a show up there. It's an American ice cream show. And another one floats around the country every year as well. This year, I believe, it's in Arizona. And they have a contest. And all these people submit their ice creams. And they have a huge table, maybe several tables, 40 feet long or 30 feet long. And they'll have 40, 50 different submissions in this contest. And all they are vanilla with something in it. If you go to the show in Italy, which is the third Saturday in January every year, it's called CIGEP, S-I-G-E-P. It's in Rimini. You will see how the Italians go at it. Your mouth will drop. A contest, in the last contest that I was able to get a few minutes out of our booth to work to visit some of the show, I saw a piano was an entry. I saw a scene with a lake and ice skaters and skiers and people in horse sleds. I seen towns all built with gelato.
Wow.
This is a contest. Okay, putting Oreo cookies into a vanilla dairy base, to me, has no passion whatsoever.
Yeah, right.
Has no creativity whatsoever, and quite frankly, has no taste.
Or mixing it with M&M's, right.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it takes Americans a while to grasp the Italian flavors. We started this business way back with olive oil and Italian products, and we've seen how you needed to educate the public about these products. And that's what gelato is all about. We are educating the people. And once they do get exposed to gelato, they never go back.
Right. Well, I also want to kind of like to comment. I mean, it's not like an individual. Do you have the show on? Are you listening to the show on the computer?
Well, no, I can't do both. I can't.
Oh, no, because I'm hearing feedback as I talk.
I'm on a cell, and I have it on speaker.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I'm hearing feedback.
It's necessary for me to do it as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to comment that it's not like an individual can come to your company and say, teach me how to make it.
Oh, yes, it is. We have an individual person? Oh, yes. We have a lecture room, which you saw.
Uh-huh.
We use that to teach theory and whatever. And we also have a full bar in there where we do our barista seminars. Directly adjacent to it, we have a fully equipped tech center with all the necessary equipment. There are bad freezers that are placed there by major manufacturers, both American and Italian. And we have regular scheduled courses, and we do one-on-ones with many people. I prefer one-on-ones because you get to know the people and you get to feel what they're capable of doing with their heart.
Right.
And it makes your job better, more worthwhile, because you feel you turned another person on, so to speak, you know?
Right.
And that comes out in the end result of the gelato.
But if somebody is coming to your place, it's usually somebody that's interested in putting a gelato machine, you know, in their company, to have a company-related versus, like, I want to make gelato at home. Show me how to do it.
Okay, we do both. Let me explain. We have a product called Simplay, which is the word simple with an accent over the E. Simplay is a product that is so simple to make. It's a paste in a tin or a powder in a bag. Let's take the paste. You would empty the tin, and you would fill the tin up twice with water if you want to make a sorbet, and twice with milk if you want to make a gelato. You mix that together and you put it in an ice cream making device, whether it's a machine, a batch freezer, or whether it's a home ice cream maker.
Oh, okay.
And there are several very easy, very simple ones. KitchenAid makes an attachment that it's a cup you put in the freezer, and you can mix our Simplay and put it in the cup and put it in the freezer, and you'll have a perfect gelato or a perfect sorbet. And like I said before, we have about 40 different flavors of this Simplay line. Let me give you an example. We have 6 flavored chocolates. We have a chocolate, plain chocolate. We have a chocolate sorbet to die for. We have coconut, a chocolate with pear, a chocolate with cinnamon, a chocolate with ginger and lemon, a chocolate with chili pepper, peperoncino. So we have that line of chocolates. There are so many great flavors. We have a watermelon, a red watermelon. We have a William pear. We have a zuppa and glaze, which is English trifle. You know, there are so many great flavors, raspberry, strawberry, you know, basic flavors are there too, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, pistachio, tiramisu, hazelnut. All of these products, all of these flavors can be made at home, it can be made in a shop,
right. It
can be used for pastry. They're so versatile, these products. A lot of these pastry chefs love them, because of their quality, their tremendous flavor, and their ease of use. So the homeowner, and I have several people, will refer them to one of our distributors, and they'll sell them the product. Our Amarena is sold retail in a lot of Italian specialty shops. Williams-Sonoma is a very famous shop, and they carry it nationwide. But if you go to your Italian Salumeria or specialty shop, and you'll find our Amarena.
Yeah.
Rinaldi's will sell it in their store as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Now, the other kind of thing I want to also comment on is when you're buying gelato like by the pint frozen. Now I've only tasted Ciao Bella. I don't know if there are any other brands, and if there are, you know, I found them to be pretty good. I mean, for a pinted gelato, as opposed to something, you know, you're getting scooped out of from the metal container. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Ciao Bella is a
but I wanted
a commercial manufacturer.
Yeah,
and they do make quite a few flavors. They do use some of our flavors, I have to say. And for all of these type manufacturers, they seem to be at the forefront of the gelato business. I think they make other type products as well. Maybe they make some ice cream, and they also make sorbet is gelato. It's just a water-based ice cream, you know. But they do a fairly good job, and we've been with these people with flavors into their production for quite a while.
Right.
Quite a while.
But the thing I particularly want to comment about them now, and not about them, not about their product, but what happens is that now they had sent me some samples of their gelato. Okay. They arrived, they're frozen, they hadn't gone through a thawing, refreezing process, meaning, in other words, that the problem is that people opening and closing the freezer doors at grocery stores.
Oh, that's definitely a problem for gelato.
Yeah, and then the temperature, sometimes the temperature at some grocery stores, they'll, for some reason, they'll store a bit and, you know, go back. In other words, when you're buying the pint of gelato, you may not get it the way it's intended to be just because of, the opening and closing of the doors, that kind of a thing.
You know, what happens is these manufacturers, they know their business. They know they have to compensate for, I'm not picking on the supermarket, but the supermarket freezer, as you said, is open, closed, open. They take care of that by making a higher butter fat product. And so that'll change.
Yeah. Did I lose you? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Well, something tells me it could be the weather. Okay. Well, let's see if he's no. He's not on. I don't see him up on my switchboard. Well, while he's trying to call back, well, a comment is that I'm waiting. I have to wait till the gelatos thaw out a bit to really taste. And I got to taste a little bit of it. And the taste so far was fine. I just tasted like the a little bit of the hazelnut. They sent me a hazelnut. They sent me a blood orange, which is these, I don't know if you can get blood oranges here in the United States, but the blood oranges in Italy are like, you know, really good. It's like I would call it like a really nice sweet orange. And so I'm going to, after the show is over, I'm going to do some tasting. I'll thaw them out just enough to so I can scoop it. So I have nothing against Ciaubella. It's they for a gelato that's hand packed by the pint. Now, you may also be better off if you're doing that, let's say, by the pint, is if you go to their website of Ciaubella's website, you can get it directly sent to you. It's not cheap, to get it sent to you, but if you're going to get enough of it, the paying for the shipping could be worth it. Catch the guy when the grocery store, catch the guy just as has he's putting it on the shelves, I guess, or in the thing. Let's try it, Len. Okay. Yeah, you're back, John. Yeah.
I got cut off. I don't know what happened.
Well, I think the weather, Hank, isn't helping us.
Yeah, probably is.
I don't know if you heard a crash of thunder, but
it took me. I left the office 4:30. I got home at about 10 to 7.
Wow.
Traffic was horrendous. A lot of accidents. It was pouring. And this morning coming in, they were talking about how beautiful a weekend we were going to have.
Yeah.
And I was looking forward to it. But even last week, I left early enough because I live in Long Island, and it's the longest 40-mile journey you're ever going to experience. And I left quite early to make it for your 7:05 call, and I barely got in the door that I had a call. It was just ridiculous.
Well, I'm certainly glad you did.
The reward is I have a great little dessert waiting for me at home that I make. I make in my garage for a little tabletop batch freezer, and which I'm going to use tomorrow night and make my product for the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I haven't decided on what flavor, but I have to make a strawberry for the little guy.
Now, in terms of the mixes that you have, are they all the same consistency? In other words, the one that says like the Mixie Bar or Mixie Cafe, or you know things like that. Are they all the same consistency?
These are syrups that have a similar consistency, but different concentration.
Okay.
They're engineered or designed specifically for either hot or cold drinks. So they react the way they're designed in a hot or cold drink. But the consistency is the same. It's a syrup. The flavoring agents, like the concentrated paste, they're all different because all fruits are different.
Right.
You know, you'll find different weights in our same size container, which is a tin or a pail. They're the same size, but the net weights will be different. And people often ask me now, why are the weights different? And, well, each product is different. Because we use natural products, there is different pulp, and some are more liquidy than others, and some have the pulp. And it's wonderful when you open up one of our fruits, especially, and you see the seeds from the strawberries or the blueberries.
Yeah.
You know, and the pulp of the melon, you know, it's so great. And that's what makes the gelato people that make gelato a little bit in the forefront of this type of a dessert.
Yeah. I know that for, like, when I've tasted, like, the sorbets that Michelle makes, you don't need a sign on there to tell you what flavor it is. It's like...
No.
One taste and it's obvious.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. It's a pleasure in the palate.
Yeah.
You get some of this. And,
well,
you know, I had the best of both worlds. You know, when I grew up in downtown Brooklyn, South Brooklyn, in an Italian-American neighborhood, there were no real gelaterias. No, there was the bakeries used to make this. They stood on the stove. Make a hot mix on the stove, make maybe a half a dozen flavors. And for some reason, all of those kids used to call it lemon ice. So you go to the bakery. Hey, guys, let's go to the bakery and have a lemon ice. And we go there, I'll take chocolate, I'll take crema, I'll take this.
Yeah,
and we
right.
We called it all lemon ice. They did make lemon ice, but we used to refer to it as lemon ice. And this has evolved. You know, the gelato now is really solidified in America, right? And rural America is the ones that are running with this football. They're the first, and the supermarkets out west and in the Midwest, and when they put a cafe in one of their supermarkets, they really do it up.
Yeah.
They put a real big facility up with all the equipment, and you can literally watch, you know, people making the product, and it really turns people on and makes people appreciate what they're getting fresh out of the machine.
So
that's another beauty of gelato. The real passionate people like Michelle make fresh daily the product.
Yeah.
You know,
so let me ask you a question. If somebody wants to learn, does it take a day to learn how to make gelato? If they're coming to your place, what should they expect?
I could teach a person to make gelato within a morning.
Okay.
Within a morning. You know, it seems complicated, but it really isn't. If a person wants to start tomorrow and doesn't have the patience or the ability to learn how to make gelato, with the artisan type methods.
Right.
Simplay puts them right in the business, 1, 2, 3, 40 some odd flavors. perfect pans every time. Beautiful flavor, beautiful appearance. Tell me something, Earl. When you look in, I'm not going to mention any ice cream chains, but when you look in one of their cabinets and you see these cardboard rounds or rectangular cardboard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it appetizing looking?
When I go to places and they're serving, you know, ice cream and you go into their, you know, it's like, what do I have near me? What's that one that's part of Dunkin' Donuts now?
I said I'm not going to mention it.
Well, yeah, but what? It's okay. I can mention it. What is the one?
It's Baskin and Robbins.
Baskin and Robbins. Now, this is me personally. I've never liked Baskin and Robbins because I don't like, and it's the same when I come across gelato. I don't want something that's artificial. And I find Baskin and Robbins is so much like artificial flavor, and it's just not just the consistency, but it's, you know, things like that. So I'm not a Baskin and Robbins fan because I don't want all these, like, excuse me, additives and preservatives in there.
Yeah, new shops that open under my direction. Where I have them now displaying American Hot Pack ice cream. They have both ice cream and gelato in their shops. I have them using the Italian pans instead of cardboard or rectangular rounds, and I have them mounding their ice cream like the gelato. So you'll have a whole different appearance, and what you're telling your customers is, I'm different than the people down the block. And when they taste their product boosted by the Italian flavors that we make, even if it's plain strawberry, it's an Italian flavor company making the strawberry.
Right.
And I believe their interpretation of strawberry is better than anything in our commercial market here in the States. They know why you're different now. You gave them a reason to come in. Now you give them a reason to come back. They will tell you, this is fantastic. And a lot of times a shop that takes my product after the fact. They're making, say, strawberry or pistachio with imitation extract, and they start using my product, and a regular customer comes in and says, what'd you get, a new chef, a new ice cream maker?
Yeah, right.
And it's flavor.
Yeah.
It's definitely a flavor. I have to tell you that a very famous, and again, I really prefer not to mention names, cheesecake manufacturer uses my banana and goes on CVS, what's it called, CVS?
Yeah.
On TV, and sells tens of thousands, 30,000 some odd cheesecakes. I mean, that's a compliment to my banana.
Well, that's a compliment.
All right? And you know, we could take any dessert out there and improve on it. And there are plenty of great chefs out there. Chocolatiers, some of your top chocolatiers in this country, use our flavors, our concentrated paste, to fill their pralines and their truffles.
Right.
And they do a fantastic job. And there's quite a few of them. And more and more famous chefs are doing these type of products, and they all use flavoring agents. And you want to know something? You can always tell a Fabry product.
Mm.
You can always. I can literally look in a cabinet and tell which flavors are mine and which flavors are not mine, just by appearance.
Well,
if any of your followers want to know about gelato, want to make gelato, have ideas of getting into this business, they go on our website, www.fabrynorthamerica.com, and they tell us they want to come in, and we'll contact them and make an appointment with them. We'll get them in, and we'll pick their brains a little bit to see in which direction they want to go, and we'll help them.
Okay.
All right?
That sounds fine to me. All right, and I'm going to go on to the next segment on my show. So I'm going to bid you goodbye.
Thank you.
Or should I say ciao, right?
Okay, thank you very much, Mel.
Okay,
ciao.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, buonanotte.
Okay, have a good evening. Yeah. Well, a little later on, I'll have my my gelato, my Ciao Bella, just so I can get some gelato. I mean, the gelato that I made at Fabri, helped make. I took home. Okay, so it's now first time for a, well, let me do a quick commercial, and then I want to go into the subject of the jazz. I don't know what happened with Click Free, my portable, or the backup system for your computer. I'll just comment that it's great. It's a great idea that, you know, that they can just kind of do this. It was very easy to do. I guess whatever program, you don't have to download anything. You just kind of take this little thing and just put it right into your UBS, USBS, whatever, SUV, whatever that thing is. And it'll take your whole drive, your hard drive, and get it on there. So in case, which is great, also in case, you know, there's a crash on your computer and, you have it all there. It's probably a really great idea for a backup system. So clickfree.com. So now, but here's, because I like the JetBlue.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra legroom.
Uh-huh. We have extra legroom as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll be JetBluing soon again. Probably not to Provincetown. But let me share one of the pieces of music that Spyro Gyra recently put out their new CD. I think it's called Down the Wire, and this is their opening number on. Digital recorder, because after Barbara did all she could to teach me not only how to use it, but how to upload and edit so I can have the pre-recorded sessions on my radio show in case I needed to. So let's see. Now I'm waiting for Marquee. That's the name of the company that deals with CD 101.9, Cool Jazz. His name is Bill Zasros. That's who we'll be calling in. Hopefully. Hey, click free to call in. I don't know what's going on. I'm waiting. I'm going to email them and you'll call them. They can say, oh, I forgot. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, that ends that. By the way, The Wizard of Oz is on TV tonight. They're showing it. I don't know why. It's usually, I mean, April is usually the time for The Wizard of Oz, you know. But anyway, so I guess, well, it looks like I do have somebody calling in. Let me just see. Do I have, by any chance, do I have Bill on the phone?
Hey, Merle, how are you?
Hey, Bill. I just finished playing a Spyro Gyra song.
Oh, very nice. Did you enjoy the show last night?
Oh, it was boss.
That's great. That's great. They always are. I've been spending every Wednesday on that ship for about the last, 12 or so years.
Oh, so you were there yesterday?
Yeah, I saw you.
It was you that I spoke with.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I didn't, you know, like I didn't, they would said told me who was going to call in, and of course I didn't like.
You didn't put the two and two together.
Nah.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay.
It's all right.
So what I want to kind of discuss, first, let's go first into what happened with CD 101.9 in the first place. I mean.
Well, that can take all night, I guess. But
okay. The quick version.
The quick version would be, you know, I worked there, and I worked there for many years, and I guess they flipped, I think it was February 4th or 5th of last winter, so February 4th or 5th of 08. And, you know, it's a radio thing where I guess they weren't, they thought they would do better business as a rock station. But, you know, if you look at it, smooth jazz has been. If you look at what we're doing, I mean, we're doing sold out shows. We had our best year last year on the boat. We actually did 8 cruises last summer. We sold out almost all of them, and we're starting off on a great great this year with last night's show, with 2 pretty much sold out shows with Spyro last night. So the audience is there. They just made a decision that they thought they would do better and probably sell more advertising as a rock station. Now, I left the station back in 2005 and started Smooth Jazz New York, so it was a complete surprise to me when it happened.
When you say you started Smooth Jazz New York, what
is
that?
I started Marquee Concerts.
In
the end of 2005, early 2006 with my business partner. And we took, because I had been doing all those shows for years, all these concerts, and I was actually in-house. And then the natural progression was to leave and do a lot more shows, and which is what we did, because we were kind of, prior to that point, we were just doing stuff for the radio station. So at the end of 2005, early 2006, we split, and we just started doing, it gave us the opportunity to do a lot more shows, because we were always, people were calling us, and they wanted to do shows, and we didn't want to be limited to just what a radio station wanted to do.
Right.
And that opened up the door to do a lot more with Smooth Jazz, and I've gotten to know all the players, and they're a great group of people. And the thing about it is, and you know, I'm sure you've gone to a lot of these shows, the biggest problem with Smooth Jazz Radio was, I don't think it was indicative of the players. It was the music that you hear on the record was a lot more watered down than what they play live. These are some of the most, they're hugely talented musicians. And jazz is the name itself is an oxymoron. It's smooth jazz. Jazz is improvisational. And
okay.
when you see these guys perform live and you see them jamming and you see the audience get up and start dancing and just really get into it, the radio station was trying to do. The radio was kind of a softer, more mellow, had a softer, more mellow approach.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons that these shows are so successful, because people hear the live performances have a lot more energy. Just to give you, for instance, a lot of the albums were they would use drum machines. Not Spyro. Spyro never did that. But a lot of artists that were played on CD 101.9 would have drum machines on the tracks. And that just waters it down. Oversimplifies the music.
I have to tell you that it's like my alarm clock was set to wake up in the morning to 101.9.
Right.
And that's how I woke up. And I didn't necessarily I'd probably let it go on until I kind of got dressed. Okay. Then I would, whatever. If I was driving in my car someplace, that's the one I would put on.
Right.
It just seemed to have just the right music for, it's not going to put me to sleep and it's not going to, you know, be too loud or nothing. It's just going to be just right. And the thing was, if I would go to my chiropractor's office, that's the music that was playing there, too. So
yeah,
I guess a lot of people kind of saw it as a I don't care how to say it. It's like it's just the right sounding music,
right.
Everybody.
Right. It was people saw there was a perception that it was background music. And a lot of what they played, it got soft. It didn't get marketed. It was the format became very safe. And but the music isn't the music and the live versions of this stuff isn't. The live version of this stuff is very upbeat. The players are extraordinary.
Oh yeah.
There are some players that are very close to their smooth jazz records, and there are other players that if you go see the band live, it's a tremendous show. If you go see Brian Culbertson live, his performance is like going to see like a 70s funk band, very influenced by Earth, Wind & Fire and bands like that. But his records are a lot more are a lot closer to smooth jazz than what his live performances are. And you know, again, Spyro Gyra is another example. But they didn't really, towards the end, they weren't getting as much airplay on smooth jazz radio as you might think. They were always kind of staying their own course. And what they were playing, you know, they never had a drum machine on their albums, or maybe I don't think they did. And I've always gravitated more towards the live music. I grew up in the 80s where now they say fusion's a bad word. I love fusion. I thought it was great musicians, and I love the musicianship. I loved hearing guys like I loved hearing monsters on their instruments. So
yeah.
I really dug live shows, which is why I started putting on concerts. It was always, for me, I remember being a kid, and every time I'd walk into a venue, and you know, the band hasn't gone on yet, and you see the stage and the lights and it's dressed a certain way, and it was just like, it was a really cool feeling. I just thought it was cool, and I always, you know, I loved it, and so I'm doing what I love to do, because it's, I love going to shows. I love seeing live music.
It's great. Yeah. Now, the first thing I want to get into is what shows of, you know, are coming on the cruise, which
right.
is the cruise line. Wait, Spirit? Isn't it Spirit
yeah,
Cruises?
Well, it's on Spirit in New York every
yeah.
Wednesday night, and that's at Chelsea Piers, which is 23rd Street in the West Side Highway. And,
okay, and who's what's the lineup of the?
Well. Next week, we have Alex Bunyan and Paul Taylor. Paul hasn't played the series in a while. The week after that, we've got Bobby Caldwell, which is always a lot of fun. It's a little bit different. I wouldn't even put him in smooth jazz. You know, Bobby is blue-eyed soul from the 70s.
Right.
And
I gotta tell you, like, when they, you know, I got sent a CD of Bobby Caldwell, and at first I went, who? And the person, no, you know who he is. And I went, I don't know. Then I was listening to the music, and I go, oh, yeah, next time I fall. And, you know, and then I'm going, oh, yeah, that's right. What we do for love. You know, so it's,
right.
So what happens is and probably a lot of people like myself, listening to the smooth jazz, like, I have no idea who the person is that's singing it. And it's just like, I'll just listen to the music and, like, you know. Yeah. But anyway, so let's get back.
You know what's interesting to that
yeah.
point? And that was one of the problems that's one of the problems that the format had. And that's and when you go back to CD 101.9 and why a lot of smooth jazz radio stations are flipping to other formats. One of the big problems when you play instrumental music is you can't hum. It's really hard to hum the melody because there's you were talking about Bobby Caldwell, but most of the music played in jazz is improvisational, is instrumental.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you don't have a melody to hum, so it's hard for you to identify who the artist is unless you're really into it, if you're a casual listener. So when they used to market these stations, they used to always put the image of the artist there, and they used to do things. And if you're in New York, you remember back years ago, you know, every time a bus almost would run you over, you'd think George Benson was running you over because the billboards were right on the front of the bus.
Right.
And they used to market it heavily, and they used to do TV advertising. And then in the last, I guess in the 2000s, they stopped marketing the station. And so if they don't back announce who the artist is, you're not going to know who they're playing. And that doesn't help grow the format.
Right. So let's get back to the lineup. Who else are we getting?
Well, you got Bobby Caldwell on the, you got Alex and Paul coming up next Wednesday. Bobby Caldwell on the 15th, the Rippingtons with Russ Freeman on the 22nd. Jonathan Butler is playing in, July 29th. August 5th is Najee. August 12th is Peter White and Mindy Hebert. August 19th is Marion Meadows and Schiltz from Down to the Bone. Down to the Bone was this. Schiltz left the band, and Schiltz was pretty much the leader of the band, and so we decided to bring him on board this year to play along to do a co-bill with Marion Meadows on the 19th. August 26th, we have Phil Perry, who's just a tremendous singer. And we wrap it up September 2nd with Pieces of a Dream for the season.
Oh, good.
This
is not
yeah.
the only concert. Is this the only concerts that you're doing
on
the boat?
Well, we do a lot of other styles of music. They're not all smooth jazz. We do a lot of other things. We do rock concerts. We do R&B shows, we do some hip-hop shows, we do a variety of different things as a company.
And is this all in New York?
Most of it's in New York, yeah. Most of it's in New York. We do a series called River Rocks on Pier 54. And we're doing some R&B shows. We do a lot of radio shows. I mean, we do a variety of things. So
okay. Now, how can the public like know what's going on? Is there you got a website?
Yes, we have marqueeconcerts.com, which gets all of our shows. For instance, tomorrow night we have next Thursday we have Matt and Kim and Flostradamus, those rock bands,
mm-hmm.
and they're playing next Thursday for a free show on Pier 54 at Hudson River Park.
Okay. Oh, so some of the shows are free.
All our shows. But the smooth jazz stuff
yeah.
is on Smooth Jazz New York. And it's got all the summer shows, and then we do shows over the winter. We do shows at Nokia Theater, at the Beacon Theater. You know, we had Al Jarreau came in. We're talking to Stanley Clark about doing a show later on.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I had Al Jarreau on my show.
Yeah, well, Al Jarreau yeah. played with us Valentine's weekend at the Nokia Theater.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've done a lot of shows with him.
So it's Marquee, M-A-R-Q-U-E-E?
Yes, Marquee
okay.
Concerts.
.com,
and for the jazz stuff, go to Smooth Jazz New York. And Smooth Jazz New York will give you a lot of stuff. It'll give you videos. Occasionally, the artists will let us offer downloads. We've got a lot of content on that site about what's going on with this type of music. I mean, it's pretty much replaced CD 101.9 as the place to go for smooth jazz.
All right, I want to take a quick break and just play a little bit of the beginning of the two Bobby Caldwell songs so people will know what the hell I'm talking about in case, okay? Hang on there.
Okay. Bobby's biggest hit, and he also did Beyond the Sea, the old Bobby Darin tune. So
I know this song, Next Time I Fall. Was that featured in a movie?
I don't know.
All right, I'll look it up.
I don't know.
But so I said, so let's kind of get back to this. So so basically the future now with CD 101.9 or Smooth Jazz is really based in New York City. Is that what we're looking at?
Well, the future of Smooth Jazz. I mean, you know, we're doing everything we can, and we're doing a lot of shows, and we're a lot of people are coming out to see these shows, and it's fun, and it sounds great, but you know, it's not being played. CD 101.9 doesn't play it anymore. That doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
So, you know, there's live music. Smooth Jazz New York is doing it every week. Over the winter, we do a bunch of shows over the winter. We don't do them every week, but we do quite a lot. We've got a few surprises coming up that we can't talk about yet because they're not done yet. But we got some surprises coming up in October, which will be really nice. It's the music's still out there, and the audience is still out there.
Oh yeah.
It's just a matter of the radio wants to play something different, and you know they're running their business and they want to do what they want to do, and that's their prerogative. They could, you know, it's their company. It's a shame because, again, you know, they had a million listeners, and it didn't work out. And
let me ask you a question. Do you have any like CDs like that are compilations?
From the old CD 101.9 used to put together those compilation CDs. Smooth Jazz New York doesn't have that. We don't do. We're not in the. We don't create CDs or anything like that. The artists come on the boat. They sell their CDs on the boat, and every now and again, we promote it on our website. All they got to do is really ask, and so.
I mean, do you have? I'm just curious. Like, if I can get, I know they don't do it. May not do have any old ones that were compilations.
Well, you know. Nowadays, you can make your own compilation too. I mean, you go to iTunes and you could do like one of those genius things or one of those.
Yeah, I know.
You make your own compilation and just download whatever you want. It's that's a whole other conversation, Merle. About how people are getting their music.
I would rather really. Send me the CD. I don't even own a MP3 or an iPod and all these other things.
I got to tell you, I had thousands of records and CDs, thousands. And you know, now I'm like using my little, I don't mean to do an advertisement for iPod, but it's pretty easy. You just put
I know.
And then you're all set. But you don't get your unparalleled sonic fidelity with an iPod. You definitely miss a little bit with those MP3 recordings.
Yeah.
Not quite as good as like the real solid analog recordings, but it's you put it in your pocket and you can put 10,000 songs in your pocket. So
yeah, so people will know. I mean, I guess the people like coming to New York during the summer if they want to attend this. What is the what's the price for the cruise?
The cruise is $55. It's you can buy your tickets online. You go to Smooth Jazz New York and you can buy your tickets right there, or you can go to you can order it by phone at area code 866-211-3812. So, you know, either way. But again, if you go to the website, there's a lot more on the website. There's a lot
right.
of shows there. You make your choices. You see what you want. The one thing that's cool about this is this boat cruise. The sight lines are great on the ship. You could see the band from the way we've situated the band, as you saw last night. You could see the band from pretty much everywhere you're sitting. These artists are artists that over the winter we would put at the Beacon Theater. And we're seeing it, and we're doing it in a much more intimate environment. And I always like to see bands in a small room. I just think it's kind of cooler. And you know, I think the artists have a little bit more of a more interaction with the audience, and it's a lot of fun. And with this type of music, this is a type of music where you know, the artists are very approachable. And you know, I can't speak for them, but I see it. And they're very approachable, and they're the kind of people you'd have over to your backyard and have barbecue.
Yeah, Right. Okay, well, I got to end the show because of the land. Otherwise, I have no choice.
Okay.
So thanks for calling in, and I'll be in touch with you because I want to talk, you know, later on in another show about maybe some of the other artists.
That would be great.
And I'll get some of the music, and we'll continue with this.
That would be great. I'd love to talk to you again, and thanks for bringing me on your show. And I'm sure I'll see you again over the summer, and I look forward to it.
Great.
Okay,
have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye. Happy 4th.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
You too.